All right, this morning I'm changing gears on you this morning. I'm moving to 1 John. It's one of the epistles of John, the first epistle of John. And we're going to be in chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, being Jesus, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Father, we thank you again for this day and for your blessings. We thank you for grace and mercy upon our life. And Lord, we thank you that even when we face the hard times that come, the tribulation, the trial, whatever it might be, Lord, we know that we're not alone and that you have already given us victory over this world, over this life, and that we shall live with you in eternity. Father, I pray, though, before those days come when we are with you, that eyes should be opened and ears should be opened so that they can see and hear this truth of your great love through your Son, and that they can have the peace and the joy of life eternal in you. And we ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So John, writing to the church, and he had a few things that he was trying to address, and if you just want to list it out, John was writing because he wanted to share with the church the assurance of salvation. He wanted to share with the church the truth of God's love. He wanted to share with the church how we should behave as believers in Christ. But John was also already fighting false teachings that were in the church. You know, it doesn't take long before somebody begins to change the word that has been given. How many ever played that game in school? I know when I was a child in school, we would do this every once in a while. The teacher would whisper something into the student's ear, and then the student would pass it along until it went through the whole class, and the last student would repeat what they were told, and usually it was not at all what the teacher started with. So somewhere along the line it changed. And that truth is also something that infects the word that is taught in churches. Sometimes the truth is watered down. Sometimes the truth is removed altogether. And so we always have to be on guard. We always have to watch and know. We have to listen. We have to see. And we have to be prepared for whatever the world's going to throw at us, because it will try to trip us up. Even in this day, John was fighting something, I think, probably the biggest thing that they dealt with then was Gnosticism. There was a group of false teachers that claimed to be the knowing ones. And they had secret knowledge, but you could only get it from them. Secret knowledge. And there were some things that they taught. They didn't agree with everything that Christianity teaches. They didn't agree with what was presented in the Gospels. They believed and they taught that first you could get only the truth that was given by God through them, but there is also a distinction between what is spiritual and what is physical. And they said that matter, which is inherently evil, which means the flesh, specifically in this case, was evil, and because the flesh is evil, Jesus was not in the flesh, but only an apparition. We only saw an illusion that he didn't suffer, he didn't die, he didn't take on the sin of the world through his sacrifice. It was all an illusion, a great falsehood that is being presented. And you need to understand that because matter is evil, God can't have evil in his presence or in him at all. But Jesus was real. And John is trying to teach us that. They saw, they heard, they touched the life that was and was manifest before man to see. John's using the epistle here to already begin to teach. And we will face battles with the world and what they teach us and what they say to us about Christianity and how they mock our faith, how they mock our Lord. These battles will not end until it's all said and done. So you might as well prepare, if you aren't, beginning today to face it. You don't have to answer every question. You don't have to know the answer for everything that's thrown out. You just walk in faith and know that God is with you. And if you need an answer, God will have provided that to you for the time it is needed. But you walk in faith. You walk knowing that God is with you. You walk knowing that life is secured in Jesus Christ. And you walk knowing that he is coming again because he said he was. And listen to what he begins to teach here. He says to those through his testimony, I am bearing witness to you what was from the beginning. He starts with what was from the beginning. Jesus, the Word which was with God and was God. Jesus. This is who he's talking about. Who is the agent of life itself. Whom we have heard. I've heard him. I sat in his presence. The eternal one, Jesus, the light which shines in the darkness, which we have seen, who was the Word which became flesh, which is the image of God manifest before men. For before the world to see, we have handled. He is real. There's no denying who Jesus Christ is. John is standing on his testimony on this as truth, as having walked with the Christ, having seen and heard and embraced even. And he wants those in the church to hold to these things and to hold true to these things. Listen, when he says that which we have heard, the one whom we were taught by. Listen to what he's talking about. He said when Jesus was with us, he told us what his purpose was. He said, I have come to save that which was lost. He said, I did not come to destroy the world, but that the world might be saved through me. He told us that he was the good shepherd. He said that his sheep know his voice, and he knows his sheep. And he got right down there with who people were and in their lives in that day, and he's talking about being a shepherd. People understood what it meant to be a shepherd, to have charge over a flock of animals and to be responsible for them. And he said, how many of you, if you are a shepherd, if you have a flock, you have 99 sheep and one goes missing, how many of you wouldn't leave that group to go find the one? I know I've had things in life that I've had a group of. How many of you ever played marbles in life? Man, I used to love marbles when I was a kid, and I had a bag of marbles. And I knew every marble I had. And if I lost one, I fretted over it. Marble. I was going to find my marble. I still hadn't found them all, y'all. Few marbles short, right? But Jesus wasn't talking about marbles. He wasn't talking about sheep either. He was talking about us. He said, I came to save you and me. I didn't come to find those that are well and healthy. I came to find those who were sick and lost. I came to find them and to show them, and they will see, and they will hear, and they will know, and they will be found and have peace in me. He didn't come to judge the world yet. He came to save the world. He came so that the one could be found. And there's a whole bunch of us who are number ones out there. We were, and there still are. Don't wish for the Lord Jesus to come too quickly. Pray that those souls that are lost will still be found. Because once He comes, that is done. And I don't wish for anyone to suffer for eternity. You know what? If it means we have to put up with a few more trials, a few more tribulations in life, so be it. If another soul is saved because I got to have a bad day here before I have my best day there, so be it. Because Jesus Christ came for all. Many, many are called, few are chosen. We sure want those few to be found, though, don't we? John said, we have heard, and he taught us to love. Out of all of the things that he taught us to love. And that's why we plead with God to open the eyes and the ears, for them to see and to hear and to find salvation. He said, not only did we hear Him, but we saw Him. I personally can only imagine the things that they must have saw. Now, Scripture tells us things that were done. How many of you have read where the lepers were cleansed? What an amazing sight that must have been. How many of you know that there were multitudes, thousands of people sitting on a hillside following after Christ, and they were hungry and He fed them? Yeah, twice. How many of you have been fed by Christ in your life? In your life. And you know that God can feed His people. He can care for His people. He can cleanse His people. That which was dirty and filthy can be made clean. That which was starving can be filled, physically and spiritually, through Him. He said, we have seen Him with our eyes when the lepers were cleansed, the hungry were fed. And how about the time when the man who was born blind was given new eyes? You see, when Jesus helped him, it's interesting because we have to bring this really into perspective. He said he was born blind. Basically, he had eyes, but they were no good. They didn't work. They had never worked. It wasn't something he had and he lost. It was something that was there but never worked. Sometimes you just need a new battery, right? How many of you wake up in the morning and say, man, I need a new battery? I've never woke up and said, I need new eyes. But here he was, this man born blind. And Jesus took some dirt and spit upon it, molded it up, placed it on his eyes, and told him to go and wash. He came back, he could see. He could see. God took the dirt from the ground and made him new eyes. There is nothing God can't do for His people. And the man came back and he was put under all kind of scrutiny and questions and challenged. His parents said, don't ask us. They didn't want to have to answer to the temple and be kicked out because they were standing up for Jesus. He said, he's old enough, ask him. He said, I was blind and I can see. This is what I know. I was blind, but now I see. John said, we heard him and we saw him. But how many of you can see him as one who was blind to him, but now as one whose eyes are open to him? And where is the excitement of that? Where is the joy in seeing Christ as Savior? Where is the love for what he has done for you, measured in your life? Because his love was measured through his life for you. I have seen. I have heard. You know, it would be an amazing thing to think that just seeing a man born blind get his eyes back would be something. But how about that moment when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth! You know, it just gets better and more amazing. And people in this world, they tell you, you believe in that? Not only do I believe in that, I expect to experience that. And if I haven't already experienced it, I will. I have experienced being born again in Jesus Christ. That is real. You can't take it away. You can't change my mind. There is nothing you can say that will ever persuade me differently. I know that God has saved me. But I also know, though I am being made new, I am not quite new like I'm going to be. And one day, I will experience life after death in ways that are just as wonderful as Lazarus did. He's going to call me out of that tomb one day. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to meet with him in the air. And there we shall be forever and ever. Amen. With him. Because I will be made new. And what I think I see now, I'm going to see much more clearly then. It's going to be the blind man getting his eyes and then getting them opened even more. Can you imagine? You think you know who God is. You think you can see God working in the lives of people. And we can, but it's dimly what we see. It's a shadow of who he is. It's a shadow of what he does. But one day, when we see him in all of his glory, we will know him. And how wonderful that will be. I mean, John is telling the church, hey y'all, we got something good here. We got something wonderful here. We've got life. We've got joy. We've got hope. And we've got peace with God. Not with the world, with God. And it is something that cannot be taken away. One day we will see and we will hear some of the most wonderful things, greater than we've ever seen or heard, even in this life. But what's really the moment of testimony is not just that he said what we have heard and what we have seen. He also says what we have handled. Now think about that for a moment. Because John walked with Jesus in his ministry. Sure, he had a brotherly embrace time and time again, I'm sure. They broke bread together. Jesus washed their feet. They had conversations. Wouldn't you love to just sit down and have conversation face to face with Christ the way that they did? John says, not only did we hear him and see him, but we have handled him. And in all of that, he's not necessarily speaking to the brotherly embrace or the moments where they had a foot washing or breaking of bread. He's talking about that day at the cross. That day when Jesus died. He heard him from the cross. He saw him on the cross. He heard him when he said to Mary, "Hey, you see your son and you see your mother," speaking to John and to Mary. He said, "I was there, I saw and I heard." But he died. Guys, he died. He was real. He was in the flesh. He was beaten. He was bruised and he was pierced and he died. And he was placed in the tomb. And what I thought was over and done had only just begun. You know, they were afraid when Jesus was crucified and they began to hide behind closed doors. How many of you know what it means and feels like to be afraid that you're hiding behind closed doors? I've never hidden behind closed doors. Well, I won't say that. When I was a kid, I did a few things, but that's not what we're here for today. I never did anything as an adult where I had to hide behind a closed door. Did you? Have you? Not certainly not because I believe in Jesus Christ, but they walked with him, and when he was crucified, those who were disciples began to hide for fear of the Jews. And one of them wasn't there, old Thomas. He wasn't a doubter. He just didn't believe, y'all. Can I say it any simpler than that? He wasn't a doubter. People said, "Hey, we saw him." He said, "I won't believe it. I won't believe it until I place my hands in the nail print. Reach into his side. I won't believe. I will not believe unless I see him with my own eyes." And he had seen all of this and had heard all that Jesus had taught. And Jesus placed in a tomb, and the tomb is empty, and he miraculously appears to a group behind closed doors where Thomas wasn't attending, off on his own. Are we sometimes the kind of Christian where our faith has a trial and we separate, go off on our own, so that we miss the wonderful thing that Christ is about to do? And then have to hear it secondhand and say to them, "Well, yeah, y'all were distraught, all right. How fermented was that wine at the supper table? I won't believe it until I see it myself." And so Thomas, he said, "Okay, they're going to have another get together behind closed doors." And Thomas was in the group, and there was Jesus. There he was. There he was. Thomas, don't disbelieve. Believe. Put your hand here and reach your hand here at my side. And Thomas fell to his knees. "My Lord and my God." John was there to see this. The others were there to see this. Thomas. They saw Christ and they saw Thomas. They saw themselves. Maybe not as vocal even as Thomas, but maybe being in that point of almost being on that level with Thomas. They saw themselves being brought back in into the embrace of the Messiah with hope and joy renewed and overflowing. And Thomas, my Lord and my God. Y'all watch out. He might run you over when he's on the way out to tell people. What happened to our excitement about the good news of Jesus Christ? Do we still have it? Has the world watered it down for us? Has the world made us question what we have seen and heard in our walk with Christ? Are we beginning to have doubts because God hasn't done something we expected Him to do? You know, this was never about just one person. Even though God came for the one that was lost, you still aren't the only one that is lost. You still aren't the only one that was lost. And if you just grouped all of the world into little pods of 100 and you took one out, there's a lot of ones still out there. And God is answering things in your life, but He's got so many more He needs to attend to as well. And He taught us how to love and to live sacrificially so that they can see and they can hear His testimony through us. Not so that we could sit back and say, oh, woe is me. God abandoned me, left me in all this ruin. That's not our testimony, is it? You fall into ruin, you look up and say, Father, I don't know how we're getting out, but I'm going to let you drive. Amen? I don't know how we're going to find a way out, but I'm going to let you show the way. I don't know how long I will be in this place, in this predicament. But time doesn't matter because I have eternity with you anyway. And He will provide, He will protect, and He will bring us home. Jesus, this is what John is trying to tell us. We heard Him, we saw Him. We handled Him. We put Him in the grave. We saw Him alive. I saw Him in life, and I saw Him alive after the grave. He is real, and His love for you is real, and His promise to you is real. Believe in me, and you will be saved. Jesus, that's Jesus talking. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. But have your whole heart poured into it because Christ had His whole heart poured into you. You say you believe? Well, you do well. The demons believe and tremble. And I was thinking about this. You know why the demons tremble? Because they don't have peace with God. They don't have peace with God. And they won't accept peace with God. You believe, you do well. But you can have peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And just get past all of those worries and concerns. You can find peace through Jesus Christ right now and have hope and joy and life if you will just take that step. Don't be disbelieving. Believe. And know who is Lord and God in life, Jesus Christ. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank you so much again for this day. I thank you for the testimony of those who came before us, who walked with you, who share their testimony of you and of their life with you and in you. Father, the hope that we have for the same life and the same joy eternal. And I pray, Father, today, if there is one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, they will find the peace that comes with knowing you as Lord and Savior. Lord, give them the strength to see and to hear and to step out and to embrace the love that you so freely give. And Lord, we ask it for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?